Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode number 17. And as always, I have as my co-host, Hernani Joppert. Hello, Hernani. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back. Lots of things to talk about today. And I wish you guys a good sum of information today.
Well, we are going to start talking about one article that was released just a few days ago. Actually, it was an article that I have written about a topic that in the beginning was not really related with PHP. Basically, it talks about GTK, which is a library of objects used to build a user interface, usually for desktop applications. And there is a PHP extension that can use GTK to build desktop applications with PHP. That library, that extension is named PHP GTK, and using that library, it benefits from one of the latest enhancements of the GTK library, which is basically to be able to send the display, the windows that an application opens to a web browser that supports HTML5 canvas objects. Basically, what it does is to, instead of opening Windows in a local desktop environment, it starts a web server that listens to a certain port in a given local IP address, and it takes HTTP connections to that port, and once a browser connects to it, it receives a response that will render a page with canvas objects inside, and in that canvas objects, it starts rendering the user interface of an application that is actually running on the server side. And this is interesting, although it is not yet available for the PHP GTK current version, because it only works with the GTK 2 version. If you once the PHP GTK is updated to work with GTK 3, it will be able to take advantage of this possibility of sending the display of a PHP GTK application to a remote machine over the web. And this opens an interesting new possibility, although for now it's just a possibility. But it is quite interesting because it is yet another way, a different way from the traditional way of developing PHP web applications that provide rich user interfaces. And with this new way, well, we'll still have to see if it will get, if it will be actually supported, because it requires an upgrade to the PHP GTK library. But if that happens, we'll have to see if it will have some adoption, at least in certain environments. Hernani, did you read the article? What did you think about this new possibility to generate user interfaces and serve them over the web using PHP GTK?
Yes, I've read the article 2 days back, and it was very, very interesting, especially because most of the interfaces existing in the Linux and possible in the GNOME user interface is based off on GTK. And I assume that this can open a broad topic, and most likely Qt libraries could also benefit from this approach.
And, yeah, actually, Qt is a different toolkit, and it's totally unrelated with GTK. So unless the developers of Qt, which nowadays is Nokia, take us the same direction, it will not go that way.
Yes, and it goes far from the past with the applet approach, which doesn't performs very well, especially because of the flickering of the UIs and everything. But GTK is more, I guess, visually concepted. It's better in my perspective, and we could see rich applications running on those platforms if they go into that paradigm. And it would be very nice to see this happening. And as well as with the Qt, it opens a broad topic on the subject, and we could see more more rich applications coming forward by benefiting from the existing underlying technologies of client applications or desktop applications.
Right. I think I'm not sure. I did not see this in practice. Actually, I tried to see the examples that were displayed on the video provided by the developers that show basically GIMP, which is a image manipulation program very similar to Photoshop, but is open source. And since GIMP it is based on GTK, I was wondering how it would run in practice, because we only saw it demoed in the video. And but unfortunately, I could not find a distribution, a Linux distribution that already has GIMP built with GTK 3. Actually, I think at least in Ubuntu, it already comes with GTK 3, but the applications themselves are not built with that version. They are built with GTK 2. And but it seems in the upcoming releases of these Linux distributions that come with GNOME libraries, that they will be built with against the GTK 3. But what I was wondering is what kind of traffic it would require to exchange all the information between the browser and the server to render a regular desktop. I assume since the most of the graphics are just lines and regular shapes like rectangles and other types of shapes that constitute the usual user interfaces, it probably will not take much information to be exchanged between the browser and the server.
But, exactly. And one of the common technologies there out there existing today, like Citrix and other ones like Flash and some underlying technologies on the browser, like Java applets. If you use VNC, you have a web version of VNC that you can run within your browser.
Yeah.
Most of those applications that does meeting or e-meeting throughout the web basically uses these kinds of technologies.
Yeah, but VNC is quite heavy because it transfers the graphics already rendered on the remote machine.
Exactly.
And I expect that this approach of the GTK with the Broadway backend, which is the name of the backend that sends the display over canvas objects to a browser that supports HTML5 objects, I suppose that it will not send all graphics already rendered. Well, I'm not sure yet. Maybe for the first dump, it will, the first refresh of the screen, it will dump the whole graphics of the that are rendered for the Windows, but subsequent updates probably it just sends some commands that render the graphics instead of transferring the whole graphic data, graphic sections, like VNC does.
Right.
And we all know that VNC works, but it's still slow. It takes a lot of bandwidth, and that is probably a solution that will not scale very well if you need to serve users, many users in for your applications. Well,
yeah.
At least this is just an interesting approach to solve an interesting problem of providing rich user interfaces.
Yes, and it's very good to see other open source approaches to these kinds of technologies, not just rely on Java or Flash or having another technology coming through. It could be very beneficial.
Yes, and for now, we have to wait and see, because we still don't know if PHP GTK will ever get attention and to be updated, because I think at least in the last years it was somewhat forgotten, or I do not see much development going on PHP GTK nowadays, because it's not the strongest market of PHP. PHP is more used for web applications.
Yes, and the whole software development world is pushing to the web, right?
Yeah. Well, so. this approach is still over the web, but we still don't know if it will be compelling enough to attract developers to go to that direction. But, well, let's wait and see, and eventually any limitations that are found trying this approach,
yes,
which is still very new.
And strongly encourage those developers to keep going, right?
Yeah.
And make sure that the PHP GTK team
checks
on this and try to help. And we vouch for that.
Yeah.
We hope that this comes
like
through.
Like I was saying, I do not see much of a team over there now, but we'll have to see if there is anybody that works on that extension to come back and see the interest on this possibility. Well, let's wait and see, as I said. But moving on with the power of the podcast, another interesting happening, something that was announced just a few weeks ago, and despite it's not PHP specific, I think it would be of the interest of everybody that works on web-related development, and it is the announcement of the Amazon Silk browser. As you may be aware, Amazon is about to launch their Android-based tablet, the Kindle Fire, which is very different from the other Kindle models, because it is not only a touch-based tablet, but it also is based on Android, which is not the case of the previous models of Kindle. And this is very interesting for many reasons. We already know that it will be sold for a reasonably low price, which make it a very competitive product. But the part that matters for us developers is this announcement that they will use a different browser from those that we are used to handle in our work with web applications. This Amazon Silk browser is basically a browser that, from what I understood from the announcement video, it will sort of use a proxy running on the Amazon cloud that will serve the pages that are requested by the browser. And since it knows the HTML that goes down to the browser, it can already anticipate all the JavaScript, CSS, and graphics that are necessary. And by the time the page is served, it can already retrieve that content and serve it very quickly to the Kindle browser, the Amazon Silk browser. So it will eventually provide a faster access to the pages, because as you may know, Amazon has a CDN, a content distribution network, and this means that they have proxies around the world, very close to the different regions of the world where the users may be accessing the web. So if given that this proxy will cache those contents, not only the pages that are frequently requested, but also pre-cache the actual files that a page will need, and with this possibility, the expectation is that it will provide a faster user interface than other browsers. Actually, this is somewhat similar to what Opera already provided since many years ago, which is basically a sort of a proxy that prefetches the content that it knows that the browser will need. Hernani, did you look into this approach? What did you think about it?
Yes, I've seen the Silk webpage, but I didn't have the time to look at the video. But as far as from the proxy optimizations, it will also make some specific decisions. And I'm not sure how smart those decisions will be. But keeping an instance of, let's say, a very wide, very broad usage of jQuery framework and other commonly known JavaScript libraries will most surely represents a better performance improvement, at least before the browser is running. And I have a BlackBerry, and I've seen that the browser within BlackBerry, it doesn't, at least in the version of the OS I have, it never closes, so the browser is always active, which somehow has, in my concern, some sort of optimization like that. And hopefully they will come up with an idea of having also some specific processing power to optimize the tablet experience, since they have the WhisperNet connected 24 hours a day directly with the device. It can benefit from this. And as everything is on the control, under the control of Amazon, it makes more sense to see that they will make improvements also on within the communication, which currently most, if not all, of those tablets, those existing tablets in the market, relies on operators and carriers all over the world.
Yeah, well, it's another interesting development that we have to wait and see if it will make a difference. Well, from what I understood, this is probably yet another compelling reason to push developers to host their applications on the Amazon cloud services, especially if this new Kindle Fire tablet becomes very popular, which is something that is very likely, because Amazon is subsidizing the sales of the tablet by selling it at a very low price. It is expected to cost around $200, which is quite a good price for a dual core device. It's still a 7-inch device, but it's probably the ideal size for many people. And they also plan to have a 10-inch device if they see demand for it. And it seems the tablet world is maturing very quickly, because so far we only had iPad dominating a market, and the competitors hardly cause an itch to Apple iPad sales, because they basically sell very similar devices about the same price, so there is little difference between iPad and its competitors. But in the case of the Kindle Fire, it probably make it very popular because of its low price, and it's very likely that it will promote the massification of the tablets that at such a low price will eventually sell a lot more than iPads are selling now. And and the reason why Amazon is subsidizing the Kindle Fire is because they'll eventually make up with sales of content, being those either books, music, or videos that they already sell in the Amazon site. So I think this is quite a clever approach. But back to our main concern, which is of the PHP developers, probably we need to think again when we decide where we in which cloud provider we are going to host our applications. Because if as I said, if Kindle Fire becomes very popular, I think hosting it in Amazon cloud will provide a greater advantages in terms of speed of server of serving our sites pages. Well, this is yet another interesting topic that we need to keep an eye for the upcoming developments. And with this in mind, we are going now moving on to the following topic of this podcast, which is basically talk about the latest developments in PHP itself. Well, just a few days ago, PHP 5.4 Beta 2 was released. It was released in October 20, but they only announced it in the site of PHP on October 26. And, well, this release has nothing special to talk about. Basically, it is a release that introduces mostly bug fixes. And but still, it is important to mention, because after this release, many developers will want to know when PHP 5.4 final version will be released. And the expected release date is, we don't know yet, but the plan is to release in around November 10, the first release candidate, and keep iterating until the number of known bugs is very small. And they plan to release a release candidate version every 2 weeks until it reaches the final version. So it's possible that it will be released maybe in December. I mean, the final PHP 5.4.0 version. Or maybe January, we'll see. We have to wait and see, because there is Christmas, and probably most developers will slow down their work on the PHP core. But maybe we'll get it in December or January, or in worst case in February. So if you wanted to know what is the expected release date, this is the best approach that I can provide now in terms of expected release date. And any, are you anxious or desiring for the hoping for the release of PHP 5.4 soon, or you don't care much about this release?
Oh yeah, I really am. I expect PHP to gather up with the latest approaches and the benefits for this new release, which I know of some of them, and I am aware about some of them, but mostly by fixing bugs, and it's always to see improvements on this side, and hopefully it will be done within this year, and the sooner the better.
Yeah, well, we have to wait and see, but personally for me, I don't see great advantage in the latest in this release, but other people are hoping to see some of the most prominent features, like traits and others. And but for me, I do not see anything special. Basically, I do not see much anything special in the latest PHP releases, because PHP is already a very mature language, and it provides practically all that I need. And still, there are people that have different expectations. They probably are anxious for this release, and it is always positive to see new releases of PHP, because it shows signs of vitality in the PHP development. Past versions took years to be released, and since PHP 6 was sort of cancelled, it's good to know that PHP development carry on. And most people only know about that PHP development is quite alive only when they see new official releases. So I think this is this version, as any other version, will be very important to show vitality of the PHP development to the world. But also talking about PHP development, one interesting possibility that I've seen commented in the PHP internal mailing list is that they are considering to migrate PHP development again to a different version control system. As you may be aware, in the past PHP used CVS to host the repository of all versions, all changes done to the source code. And it was migrated to Subversion, and now there is a proposal, not specifically just for the PHP project, but there is a development that a developer that offered to assist in the migration of project repositories to Git. And it seems Git is becoming a quite popular version control system. Well, I don't know if PHP itself really needed Git support. I know there are already mirrors at the PHP Subversion repository, mirrors for Git, and we don't know if this will be a big deal, but at least there is this possibility. It probably won't make any difference for the PHP users, because they only use final versions. They do not participate much in the development of the core code. But for those that participate and prefer Git for some reason, they will enjoy an eventual migration to this different version control system. Would you rather see PHP stay as it is and the developers focus their efforts on some other developments, or do you think it would be worth spending some time migrating to Git?
Yes, my concern here is seeing why Git came to life, right? And the benefits of using Git is just to improve distributed development environments, along with having your own repository yourself and pulling from someone you are interested by pulling on. And this helps a lot the core team, and I see this coming through, because it will really avoid confusions. And Subversion is very powerful. It came along adding benefits compared with the CVS, although those benefits somehow weren't much greater. And you could see the web dev support by checking these kinds of interface and relying on Apache, which would then accept further connections and handle it better. But basically what CVS does, Subversion does, and aside from some particularities, it's just a better way of doing it internally. And having Git, it brings a new approach. We could also see this in Mercurial and Bazaar, I guess. But Git is really setting up the standards. And I would see lots of benefits from the core team, because they could only have a central repository for their nightly builds and etc. And the branching is very easier to happen, and by also using some other specific functionalities like cherry picking and everything, it will also improve the organization and the centralization of this, and also help managing everything else. So yes, I would like to see PHP benefiting from Git, and I'm not involved at all under the core, although I've helped in the past with a patch within the ODBC. It was a long time ago, but I would like to see it happening, and I would like to see some successful stories about it.
Yes, well, I'm still not sure if it would be worth the effort, because I don't see it changing the daily routines of the development at PHP. Everybody can has their own working copy of the repository when they check out with any of the systems, being CVS or Subversion or Git. And the fact that Git makes it easier to work on a distributed environment, I don't think it will benefit the PHP development itself greatly, because the whole development is still, the development that matters is still concentrated on the group of people that have access to the repository. And if you just clone your copy of a repository, it doesn't mean that your patches will be accepted. You can develop a patch in a branch and push it so it can be accepted or not. But you can already do that in Subversion. So I'm not sure if this will be so beneficial. Anyway, since this is an offer from an outside developer to help doing it, probably it won't waste much of the core developer's time to actually do it. And I just saw this message in PHP internal. There is not a big discussion about it, meaning that it probably didn't raise much interest, probably because they did not see a great benefit on this. Anyway, I'm going to post the link to this proposal offer. This developer that is willing to help doing these migrations, because it was not specifically targeted to the PHP development. I suppose he can help for other projects. So in case anybody else is interested in having this migration to happen, migrate other projects to Git or something else that they are helping on, they may want to contact the person and see how it can help. Anyway, moving on with our podcast, we are going to talk about the latest JavaScript objects that were published in the JS classes, the PHP classes brother site. And as usual, we have a good set of classes to talk about. Actually, objects in JavaScript, it's more accurate to call them objects than classes. Hernani, what objects did you find more interesting to comment this month?
Yes, on the JS classes site, I found interesting, I'm not sure it will apply to most of the JavaScript users, but I find myself astounded about the power of JavaScript since I've seen its improvements. And the water drop effect class from Artur Zosins from Latvia really caught my attention, because you see JavaScript still picking on the animation and coming forward with this those technologies that were in the past only available within specific engines or Flash or some hacks around 2D animation in order to get a 3D effect. And it's nice to see that JavaScript, although it's sometimes very difficult to understand, you can see those things happening, and having this component ready at your hand would be something. If I would, let's say, create any presentation project or let's see SlideShare, which is a very, very common site used within the web, if they plan to have a platform which you can basically design your presentations at ease, and having those effects as a drag and drop feature, having this used would be very nice, because sometimes you're far away from home, you don't have your own computer at your hand, and you may have a mobile phone or a tablet at hand, because it's becoming more mature and more widely spread. But you could also use the hotel PC, and mostly those hotel PCs doesn't have the software suite you're using. And by using a web technology to write a small presentation and save it under your docs, your Google Docs, or any other repositories that you may find useful, such as Dropbox or anything else, it will save you some time and at least keep your idea safe, and you can let it go afterwards and just free your mind about things that can be then later on investigated. So it's nice to see that you can even make some advanced effects on those presentations, and I find it useful and innovative as well.
That is yet another object that does some interesting visual effects. It was developed by Artur Sozins, a top contributor of JS Classes site. And basically, it applies to page elements an effect that is very similar to dropping water over a surface. And along with this object, there is another object also by Artur Sozins, which is, that I would like to comment, which is the blur effect, which is yet another object that provides a nice visual effect. In this case, apply a blurring effect to a page element, any page element. And it is interesting because it provides a solution that works in most modern browsers, and it can animate the blurring effect by changing the blur level. So it seems that the page element that is underlying the mouse pointer or any other page element is going out of focus, and
yes,
this is the type of element that the type of effect that we used to see only provided by flash objects, flash animations in the past. And given the latest developments of properties that are now part of the CSS3 standard, combining those properties with other resources of HTML5, like using canvas objects, it can provide nice effects like this. And this is quite interesting. Well, other than that, we have also other interesting objects that unfortunately do not have time, like for instance the timer object by Jeff Martin from the United States, and as well the jQuery form plugin by Satyam Kumawat from India, and the canvas game controls by Martin Baker from the UK, and again the canv icon object by Arthur Sossins. Unfortunately, you do not have much time to comment on these, despite they are also interesting, because we have to move on to our final section of the podcast, which is to comment the latest PHP classes nominated for the Innovation Award. But before commenting on those, I would like to mention an enhancement that was introduced this month to highlight better the classes and the authors of the classes that were nominated to the Innovation Award over the years. Sometimes we, certain pages of the site show listing of packages, for instance, of a certain group, like for instance web services. It lists a lot of classes, but the classes that were nominated to the Innovation Award were not highlighted in a different way. This was basically the announcement that was done this month. Now, the wherever a class that was nominated for the Innovation Award is listed, it will appear with the Innovation Award logo, and eventually the month and the year and the ranking of that class was nominated. This is an effort to value the authors that provide the most interesting contributions to the site, and this hopefully will work as an encouragement for these authors and others to keep sending more innovative components, because not only the classes that are listed are highlighted, but also the authors that have submitted innovative packages now or in the past will also be denoted in a special way. For instance, in the pages of the classes or the pages of the listings of all classes of an author, if the author was nominated at least once to the Innovation Award, now it will show also the logo of the Innovation Award and the number of nominations, and eventually the number of times that that author won, if he won any of the times. And this will help to show you how reputed is an author in this site, and hopefully this will contribute to encourage more authors to submit more innovative packages, because when they do it, they also will be denoted in the rankings of all authors overall, all the world, or of their own country. There is also a new column in the listing that shows the number of nominations and number of times that an author won, to highlight again the their contributions and provide them better recognition and encouragement to keep contributing. But moving on with the actual nominations of this month, Hernani, which classes you would like to highlight this month?
Right, yes. Just before commenting on the classes which I've already picked here, I'd like to highlight that you mentioned that the paradigm versus low quality classes and innovative, the difference between encouraging innovation and complexity of code, and as well as giving back to the users, because they are improving the amount of code and innovation within the PHP classes community itself.
Right.
So it's always nice to give back to the user the ability to have more visibility when participating in a hiring process and explaining some particularities of their code, and having this being recognized by the site itself and about the users. And this is very nice to see, and just doesn't try to organize the information, but also to make sure that we are dealing with people here.
Right.
And those people are very keen to be hired by an employee, and it's nice to give them back the ability to be recognized. And
right.
it's very nice to see this, as well as within the job promotion that PHP classes does. There are lots of openings that are being explicitly given by the PHP classes site, and most of those jobs focuses on part-time development or home office development or freelance. And it's nice to see that the users becoming premium users within PHP classes sites, they will benefit from it. And by having some classes which are recognized already, it will also improve their chances to be hired.
Right. This
so
is
nice
just
to
to complement, just to mention, every author of class that is nominated is entitled to get a free lifetime premium subscription, which, among other things, grants them priority access to the job postings that appear on the site. So eventually, by contributing more innovative classes, authors can get free access to more and better jobs, and hopefully that will pay back for the contributions that they are making to the site. But now
yep.
that we need to are very close to the end, just going to mention a few classes that you think that are worth mentioning for the Innovation Award of,
right.
of August. The authors were voted, actually the classes were voted during September, so now in October they were announced the winners. So which ones do you think are more worth mentioning?
Yes, I've picked two classes. The SQLite database engine, there is a library there that allows the user to access encrypted SQLite database files. SQLite is growing very strong, especially on mobile devices, and sometimes you have to interface those mobile environments with a backend server. And by having this class within a PHP project would surely help in some particular development. So this is my first pick, and this is from Sven Durenman. I'm not sure if I spelled his name correctly, and he's from Germany. So congrats for the award here, as well as the PHP SVG class, which allows the users to create and edit vectorial graphics under SVG files. And this allows lots of benefits by creating a graph library or specific graphics. I've seen some astrology websites by using SVG. They could write astral maps by performing computation of planetary positions. So I've seen those benefiting from SVG, as well as graphics and everything that might require the user to generate vector graphics and vectored images would
right.
really benefit from this.
Yes,
the author of this class is Eduardo. He has an alias Trial Force Bonfardini. He's from Brazil, and congrats for the first. This class was voted the first one, so I also would like to send some kudos to him, which is very nice to see these kinds of innovations.
Yes, this class, despite there are other classes for parsing SVG files, what this class does additionally is that not only you can parse, you can also change the objects in the SVG document, and you can save them back, so you can build a sort of an editor for this kinds of vectorial graphics defined it this way. Well, on my part, I would like to also mention a couple of classes. One is named Words to Numbers by Mohammed Arfin. Not sure if this is the right way to pronounce his name. He's from Pakistan. And I just like to comment one small detail that I think most people did not get right what this class does. And this happened to me exactly when I was approving this class. I didn't get what it does. I thought it did the opposite. I thought it did take a number and convert it to spell it in English words. And there are many, many classes to do that. And what this class does is precisely the opposite, which is not so trivial, which is to take a number already spelled with the English words and parse the words to recover the actual number that is being spelled that way. And this class was not voted much, probably because people did not get right what this class does, despite there are some explanations to describe this. And
is this only for English or for other languages?
In this case, it's English because it requires specific parsing for the words. But given this, probably there may be other classes that support other idioms. And
as well as we could also recommend the user, the author of this class, to improve it and make it more internationalized as well, right?
Yeah, maybe he finds a motivation to do it now that he was at least mentioned after being nominated to this award in August. And the other class that I wanted to mention is Gamify, again by Arthur Sossins. Not only is a top contributor of the JS classes site, he also contributes great classes to the PHP classes site. And this is just to highlight that everybody that contributes classes to PHP classes site, feel free to also send your JavaScript classes to JS classes site, because you will get even more exposure doing so. And in this case, the Gamify class that Arthur sent, it's very interesting because it builds upon the concept providing a way to record tasks that a user can do on a site and award them points, so you can the site can build a ranking somewhat similar to rankings that there are in PHP classes site, and other sites that also use the gaming theories to encourage users to contribute more to their sites. And class also supports the idea of having badges, and all the gaming logic that we are very used to see in many sites that use that are sort of gamified, if that word exists. This is quite interesting, I encourage everybody to see not only this class but all the others. This month of in August, there are all 12 classes that were nominated. It's a lot of classes. to be nominated for the Innovation Award, and this is very positive. And I'd like, on this note, I'd like to encourage everybody to keep sending even more innovative classes, so we can talk about them in the future episodes of this podcast. So on this note, I think this is all for now. It was a great podcast, and on my part, that's all. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.